Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
Good morning. And first of all, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, including my own. Hi, Mom. So I'm Elizabeth Bigham, and I'll be graduating from the Webb School in Bell Buckle in about 2 weeks, and I will be attending Elon University in the fall. And I plan to study English and creative writing with a concentration in screenwriting. So I've been at this church for a long time, like from infancy, a long time. I was baptized here, confirmed here, I went to VBS in youth here, and I basically had all the experiences that you can have growing up in this church. And that includes being Miss Celia's Christmas programs. That was the best part about being in the children's choir. You get to act and wear costumes and all that cool stuff, and you get to feel super official. Sixth grade was probably one of the best ones that we put on because we got to dress up as the older generation and be the stars of the show. The program was called Meet Me at the Manger, and it was about teaching children charity and the true meaning of Christmas. For my part, I got to wear a wig and makeup and this cool skirt cardigan combo, and I got to pretend like I was knitting all the time, so that was really fun. But even amidst all the fanfare of the sixth grade performance, the thing I remember the most was singing a duet with Olivia Jaramillo in the song J-O-Y. We got to start off the song with the lyrics, J is for Jesus, our Savior and King. His love and kindness are the reason we sing. O is for others, the people we meet. We lead them to Jesus by meeting their needs. Y is for you, and though it seems odd, the last will be first in the kingdom of God. In context, it refers to the way that we're supposed to think about things. Put God first, others second, ourselves third. Easy, right? Well, thinking of this particular song reminded me of a certain set of verses. Matthew 22, 34 through 40, which is a version of what we just read, tells the story of the Pharisees asking Jesus what the greatest commandment is in order to try and trip him up, to which Jesus responds, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Now, these verses are often summarized with the saying, love God, love people, which in and of itself is not a bad motto to live by. But this summarization misses one of the key things that is essential to understanding the verse. It leaves out you. In this verse, Jesus says that we are supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, which it can also mean love your neighbor as you love yourself. God isn't just asking us to love him and those around us. He wants us to love ourselves too. And I have 3 points to make about that. One, there's a difference between being humble and being self-deprecating. God calls us to be humble, to think of others and not just ourselves. That means not only loving those around us, but being servants, caring about others, showing compassion, and generally living by the motto, what would Jesus do? But being humble does not mean belittling yourself. I've seen people, my friends, even my family struggle with this. I've struggled with it too. I find myself comparing myself to the people around me a lot more than I should. After a test, I'll compare grades. At prom, I'll compare dresses. And in sports, I'll compare goals scored or turnovers, and then judge myself based on that. Even in areas where I'm confident, like art and writing, I still end up comparing myself to people who I think are better than me and end up being discouraged. Because it's so easy to say, oh, I'm not like him or I'm not like her, because they're faster or better or stronger than me, I'm just not good enough. See the problem? Cutting yourself down like this is not being humble. It's just giving you an image of yourself that you dislike more and more with every new flaw. But God doesn't see your flaws. God doesn't see imperfection. God sees you as you were made to be, perfect in his eyes. God calls us to love ourselves because he knows that we are perfect as he made us, and he wants us to realize that for ourselves. 2, God wants us to be happy. One of my favorite Andy Stanley sermons was when he talked about God as a father. Not in the sense of a distant, impersonal figure that we just respect and nothing much more, but as a real, actual dad that cares about what you do. The thing that he said that stuck out to me the most was, God does not want something from you. God wants something for you. Most good parents, he says, do not want things from their children. They don't want repayment. They don't want certain results. They only want things for their children. They want their children to have a good future and all the opportunities that they could possibly have. And above all, they want their children to be happy, because no one wants to see their child suffer. I've heard it said before that when we hurt, God hurts with us, which is really a testament to how he feels about all of us. He wants to support us, be there for us when we fall. But he really just wants to see us happy. As a parent, God knows how amazing and special we are. He knows each and every one of our gifts because he gave them to us. So if we can look outside ourselves and look to him, we can see all that he has blessed us with. He can show us everything that we have to love about ourselves, and it is up to us to accept it and love what God has done. If we can do that, we will be a lot happier. 3. In order to love ourselves, we need to know first how to do it. In his first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul writes about love, what love is, what love isn't, and he details a guide to recognize real love and how to show love. These verses can also be applied to how we should learn to love ourselves. So here it is. Loving yourself is being patient with yourself when you aren't where you want to be in life yet. Loving yourself is being kind to yourself when you fall short of your goals. It is not about boasting about how awesome you are, but about being able to recognize what an amazing person you are. It is not about being prideful, but about being proud of who you are. Loving yourself is not putting others down, but building yourself up. And it is not being selfish or quick to get frustrated, but being able to take a step back, breathe, and take some me time when the world gets to be a little much. Loving yourself is forgiving yourself for all the times where you messed up or could have done better. It's staying away from the things that want to do you harm and running to the open arms of that which seeks to uplift you. And most importantly, it is knowing that the love of God never fails and that he will always be there to support you. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So, love God, love people, and love you. Thank you.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day, in particular to my mom, Lisa. My name is Shelby Harrell, and I'm graduating from Siegel High School this Saturday. I plan to MTSU this fall and major in speech and language pathology. Of course, I haven't started practicing in this field yet, but from what I know, speech pathology deals with anything and everything related to communication, whether it's talking, hearing, memory, social skills, and everything else. It's part of matching up your brain with how you communicate. Part of how my brain correlates and then communicates things is by telling a story. That's why I love stories so much. A problem I have, though, is I am constantly repeating the same stories. You can ask anyone who is close to me, and they will confirm this. My brother calls it my repeated syndrome. I blame this on the fact that I come from a family full of social butterflies. Also on the fact that I just talk so much, I can't remember what I said. My mom would say it's because I like to hear myself talk, but I would say that she is where I get that from. Even though I often repeat stories, I'm going to take a risk on whether or not you've heard this about this one time at First United Methodist Youth. Over the years in FUMI, I've learned the power of not only speaking, but listening, not only understanding, but practicing, and not only reading, but doing. I'm thankful for all that FUMI has given me in my time here, but one thing in particular is the opportunity to serve. We do a lot of service projects, but my favorite is Road Trip. Road Trip is a mission trip we go on every year in the summer, somewhere different around the country. We call it Road Trip because a good portion of the trip, we are on the bus on the road. These trips that we go on are very fun, very memorable, and very rewarding, but are also very challenging and exhausting. Every time I go on one, I find myself faced with the challenge of meeting someone new, a total stranger, and somehow connecting my story to theirs, and occasionally the challenge of building a porch, which is very challenging considering we're a group of teenage girls who know nothing about construction, but we learned. The summer before my junior year, we took a trip to Detroit, Michigan, where we worked with an organization called CAS. CAS is a very big nonprofit in the city of Detroit. For part of the road trip, we worked at one of their homeless shelters, where people could come and get a free meal and had a place to stay. Our job there was to make food for everyone that came through. If I remember correctly, the bottom level was for single women, the second level was for women and children, and the third was for veterans. One day when we were eating, I met this woman named Suzanne. She lived on the bottom level for single women. I talked to her for a very long time. She told me all about her life and her stories, and she listened to mine as well. Towards the end of our conversation, I asked her if she had any advice for me. She was taken away for a second, and she said, "You probably have better advice that you can give me than I have to give to you." But this wasn't the case. She began to tell me the power of being kind. She said, "Keep doing what you're doing." It was apparent to me that what I was doing that was so impactful to her was simply listening. I could tell that the woman lived a very lonely life, even though she was surrounded by people. As we were leaving, I saw her. She handed me a piece of paper. She had written me this beautiful, poetic letter of encouragement and gratitude for our time together. As I was reading it, I realized the magnitude of sharing your story. It came to me that Suzanne was a woman that the world would view as unsuccessful and an outcome of unfortunate events. But God saw her differently. He saw her as someone with a wonderful story that I needed to hear from. Even though my youth group was making food for her, she was the one providing me a service. Suzanne is a woman of great highs and lows. However, the story that she told me was exactly what I needed, a random 16-year-old girl from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, needed to hear. God has given everyone here a story with the power to change someone else's life. I'm telling you this now to say that your stories don't have to be long to be memorable, and they don't have to be heroic to be significant. And whatever they are enough to greater the kingdom. In Revelation 12:11, it says they have conquered him by the blood of their land and by the power of their testimony. You will never have all the answers, so don't wait until then. Your story today is more than it was yesterday. God has made your unfinished story enough to change lives, as he has made your faith of a mustard seed enough to move mountains. Thank you.